It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a... Spoiler alert! Before listening, we will be spoiling parts of this film. If you wish to watch this film spoiler-free, turn back now before it's too late. Now, on with the show.
Robot Overlord, yo.
He's Whitney Houston, and Ares is Kevin Costner. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, here's an interesting comment, though.
The mouse commands it.
You do know the
comic Oatmeal, right?
No.
Okay.
I'm not 45.
He has. Shut up. I'm 46. Okay. Get it right.
Hello and welcome to Postcut, the show where we analyze films from the latest to the greatest, the worst and the lamest. I'm your host, VFX artist David Veerkamp. Joining me are stage and voice actress Sarah Peterson.
Hey guys.
Writer-editor David M. Brown.
Hello everybody.
Audio engineer RJ Infusino.
Hi.
And our guest is VFX artist Robert Nemeth.
Pleasure to be here.
On this episode of Postcut, we review the film Next Gen, starring John Krasinski and Sherilyn Yi, directed by Kevin R. Adams and Joe Cassander. From 2018, the film can be found on Netflix. Let me give a quick synopsis of this film. So, Mei Su, a lonely, rebellious girl, befriends 7723, a top secret military robot, which she doesn't know, and he's the only one who can stop the threat no one sees in front of them, which, you know, is revealed in the movie. So go watch it.
Awesome.
Okay. It's a great movie.
So,
great
synopsis. First impressions, everyone. How do we feel?
Hated man bun. Couldn't stand him. As soon as I saw him, I was like, no, no, no. You have to destroy the man bun.
I felt like
for the viewers, that would be Justin Pin.
Yeah. Hated the man bun. Totally knew he was the evil.
Why did you see it in his face? Because the man bun, you didn't like him?
Yep. That's right. You do know the comic Oatmeal, right?
No.
Okay.
I'm not 45.
He has shut up. I'm 46, okay? Get it right. So he tells you how to make the perfect man bun. You take the hair from your head and you put it up in the bun, and then you dunk your head into water until you die. And if you need help, you get a friend to help you with that. So yeah, man bun was no good.
Right, but he was like the cliche Apple executive.
Oh my god!
Oh yeah!
Presentation. He wore sandals.
Everybody loved him. Looked like he came straight out of Silicon Valley. Like,
oh my god! Oh, yes,
you could feel the body odor coming off.
Yes,
I think that was the whole point.
Yeah,
yeah.
There, right. He was like Steve Jobs, or yeah. What's the new Steve Jobs? What's his name?
I don't know.
Any other Silicon
Apple.
Valley, you know, product.
Like Elon Apple Musk representative. Or whoever. You know?
Right. So, like, also I didn't like his voice. Didn't match his overall appearance.
He reminded me of, like, the car salesman from, like, the 80s movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's, like, that really slimeball kind of guy.
And, like, right away, and I called it, like, his robot, his Ares. Like, that dude's bad.
Yeah.
One, it's called Ares.
Yeah.
God of War.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And
oh, no.
It follows him around. But the whole twist at the end, I didn't see that.
Well, here's a quick...
I liked that.
Yeah. Well, here's the quick question about that. Did anyone catch the foreshadowing of that?
Yeah, it was obvious.
Yeah.
I know you had a hard time catching it.
So it's not that I had a hard time catching it. I multitask a lot,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very much guilty of not paying attention to certain details of the film.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it twice so I could catch those details. The first viewing, I did not catch it. But the second viewing, I was like, something's not right here.
I watched it twice.
Refresh my memory on that.
I watched it twice as well.
I couldn't. Dave. After I watched, I was just like, I'm done.
So yeah. Refresh my memory on that.
So the only time you see him alone is the very beginning when he comes out on the presentation. As mm-hmm. soon as he walks off that stage, mm-hmm. he is shrouded by Ares, the giant menacing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, and that from that point on, he's always with him, like next to him.
Gotcha.
And then halfway through the movie, you start noticing that Ares is always directly behind him.
Yeah.
And he's always like... Almost like he's like appears
shadowed.
As a, he's shadowed exactly. Yeah. After that, there's a critical scene where Ares is moving his arms exactly
how he's doing it.
Pin is moving it, and then it's a dead giveaway.
I probably caught it more or less when he started to move and the robot moved with him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I gotta say it looked so. In the beginning, I didn't think that the actual guy had been dead.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't see that coming either.
I did notice that they did follow each other's movements, and I'm like, oh, so is this just a crazy secret project where he controls his movements?
Right, that's what I thought too.
He's a bodyguard that he made to like be his defensive guard. Mm-hmm. But then it turns out, hey, no, it's a robot overlord, yo.
He's Whitney Houston and Ares is Kevin Costner. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. He's the bodyguard. Okay.
Yes. So that was like one of the big moments. Another one was out of all of us, who got the feels at the end?
Everyone.
Dude, I had the feels.
I got a weird feels when they were like, when 77 brings that kaleidoscope fan on the hill.
That made me cry.
And I got weird like...
Like, why am I feeling
feelings? No, not that. I had the weird, some movie, was it The Professional?
Mm-hmm.
With Leon.
Yeah.
And like, I had this weird, like, I don't know, her approach to him felt like not as friends. Like, in The Professional, mm-hmm. Natalie Portman has like, she loves him more than as a father. Like, oh, like her body language spelled out.
Which she pulls it off.
It was weird.
It was weird.
I was laughing so hard. I'm like, where is this turning? That is where I was at. I was like, ooh, we're getting some robot lustious nonsense here, girl. That's a robot. I get you're rebellious. You're gonna do the thing that you very much
fight.
You hate the robots, but you're gonna use the hell out of them.
That entire city. Is robots.
Yeah.
They're like iPhones.
The brush.
They're like iPhones.
It's disgusting. Right. Like, yeah. And that, so, I mean.
I don't even know if it's like iPhones. I think it's like, it's a commentary on smartphones in general.
It's just technologically built, you
right.
know. I got the feels right away when the robot couldn't decide what memory to delete.
Right.
Right.
He's in the little shed and he's like,
yeah.
Which one do I delete? You know, because during the chase, he was chasing the girl because he wanted to find out who she was, and he gets damaged and his memory core is damaged and he just can't decide which ones to take out so he can keep it full.
Right.
You know, that one I was like, okay. Yeah, that one.
And that's
okay.
It's amazing how they take an inanimate object like a robot and actually make you feel like.
Well, and that was the thing when he started deleting memories too.
Right.
And he kept the one with the birds. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, he's got sentimental value. And then you see him delete it and you're like, oh, what?
One thing I have to say. I'm going to say this.
Of all the things.
Okay, we can't just make a backup drive on this big boy here. Can't just make a backup, you know, just save all your stuff. No, it's just gone. It's just gone forever.
I think it makes sense though, because he's an off-grid.
Right, he's a secret project.
So you can't have a backup.
Well,
on
I don't
file.
Think any prototypes and because the plot really make that.
Yes, the poorly. No, I'm kidding. It's not poorly. It's just I don't like watching it. I was speaking to David earlier, like tonal whiplash. Like the beginning was like they had a highway chase scene in this movie. And it was awesome.
Yes.
But no one was like, oh my God, there's explosions. Right. And like no one's reacting. And I'm like he literally destroyed a bridge. Like, you know, the police have missiles.
Yeah.
Where are we living? This is insane.
Well, it's a police state. But the other thing
did they acknowledge that? Where?
Well, I mean, you can see it with all the police.
And how utopian it is, it makes sense. And look, like, I'm going to say this. The one thing the society got right. Well, I mean, I don't know what's right and wrong in the society, but like if you even look at the very end, there's parks on top of buildings. That kind of thing, you don't really have a lot of democracy in that kind of society. No. You just are whatever they want you to do and how they steer you. Mm-hmm. It's like a corporate, what do you call it? A corporate dictatorship, essentially.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, the way that they portray the police robots. Mm-hmm. And the robots do everything for everybody.
Right.
Nobody has to think for themselves.
When she's in the mall,
and she
decides to jump off the escalator, and it's like, no child under 14, everyone has to be accompanied by a parent. And literally, these police bots are chasing her to arrest her because she's not with her mother.
Yeah.
But the other part of like that utopian kind of thing where people don't realize that they're not free.
Mm-hmm.
Comes when the mother is looking at the features for the new phone or whatever.
Oh,
and
my
it
God.
Blatantly says, the slightly bigger screen will make you feel better about yourself or something like that.
Yes.
And it's just a shot. And she hears that and she like claps to herself. She's like, yay. All right. I have a slightly bigger screen. She's just so into it.
Which,
right.
Now.
Yeah.
Which I find interesting because I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you. But I just find it interesting because I know me and you, Bobby, have had a discussion about like, whenever a new smartphone comes out or like the newest computer, because we're like computer tech geeks at heart. And I always get frustrated with like, dude, they're just, it's been 6 months and there's a new phone already. Like, it's not even that different. And that's what gets me mad. It's like the pros and cons of the society we live in now. Mm-hmm. And they're all kind of infused in these robots. It's like everything.
Well, I think the movie is a very good metaphor for what is going on in our
current society.
I mean, where the IQ bots, what are they called?
Q-bots.
The
IQ bots.
The new one is literally just chrome versus silver matte finish.
Yeah.
Like, there's really no difference. He said he had a bigger screen.
Right.
The only difference is he explodes.
Which, like later on.
Double as bombs.
Right.
But you notice, you know, it's funny, though. The other, you notice that, okay, anyone who bought the new Q-bot, they're chrome or whatever. But then the other Q-bots that people still have, they were blowing up too. The whole point of it being the new version of it didn't really stand out. It was just literally used for the theming that, okay, people are going to buy this, you know? Like,
well, or you double your firepower in the houses because
he gave everyone a coupon.
Everybody a free
That's
one.
That's what I
at the event, right?
At the event. So you're thinking he's just upping his firepower. It reminds me of that one. I don't remember if it was a TV show. It was kind of like, what's the one from Nickelodeon?
Jimmy Neutron?
Thank you. Yes. There was an episode of Jimmy Neutron like that, where they gave them free technology, and the technology was really supposed to take over the world.
Yes.
I think it's interesting, though, but like software updates for like phones today, you know, if you think about it, maybe they just have to off software update to make it, you know, go critical or have your battery implode. So you get some sort of explosion, maybe not a critical explosion like the bomb designed one.
And you get a bigger screen on the new ones.
Yeah. Or, you know, yeah.
I got one point that I really have to make on this is this movie obviously was based on previously made 3D animated films such as Big Hero 6 and WALL-E. Like, you see it in the character models. There's no way you can't.
Well, that and the new Bigfoot movie that's coming out, the characters look very similar.
Yes. There's so much of it. And there are certain, like, obviously the relationship the girl has with this robot is a lot like how Hero had with Baymax and whatever, you know, it kind of follows same general premise.
I never saw those.
I never saw Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6 was a great movie.
I'm a
big WALL-E. Disney fan, but never saw it.
Also, both characters feature a main character that loses a family member. Oh my God.
Speaking of that, let's get into the story, and let's have David Brown lead our discussion about that, because we are getting into the kind of the tropes of this story. Let's go.
Well, it's filled with tropes.
Yes.
You know, the rebellious girl, because the mother doesn't pay any attention to her, she comes from the broken home and you don't know why the father left. You just know he left. I'm assuming he left because the mother
is obsessed with
technology and robots and everything.
Then they go to a cemetery at one point.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he died
afterward.
Yeah. But he walked out. That's when the girl really
became a good soccer player and he died playing soccer. We never actually find out how he dies.
I also feel like the mother's obsession with technology happens after the father leaves.
Yeah, like, but I think it was starting.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like quoted in the script too. Mm. If you notice some of the lines that the one line where the mother's like confessing everything, I'm so sorry, like awful timing to be saying this. And she's like, I'm so sorry. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, okay. So now we're just going to elaborate on how the dad walking out made you feel. And then that's it.
Well, and that, or it was more of a symbolic death too. Like, she could have, for May's sake, actually quote unquote buried him so that way she thinks that there's no hope for him coming back. He's gone,
right?
You know, potentially to help her out. You don't know.
Either way, it's ambiguous.
Yeah, it's very ambiguous.
And then all of a sudden, that's where because at first the robot becomes like her little minion, you know. She brings him to like beat up the bullies and things like that.
Dude,
she's definitely psychotic. Yeah,
she wanted to blow the girl up.
That's where the tonal whiplash comes from. It's like she's literally throughout the movie. So like these other kids have these other robots, and then they're like, "I want you to beat him up," and then they do.
And they're so like, happy about it.
Where's the fail safe? It's like, we're stopping them.
Well, that's the whole point. He was damaged. by the time she met him.
Well, no. The other robots
oh, yeah.
at the soccer field
were fine. They're like, they were totally fine to beat him up.
If you, was it? They said, oh, if I hear if you black out, it won't hurt as much. I'm like, holy crap,
dude.
Well, that's the thing. If you've ever been bullied when you were a kid, you know,
yep.
Those robots, those Q-bots that take over for the actual bully, because the bully doesn't want to do anything because the bully can't, because the girl that is her bully, she ends up being friends with her at the end.
Right.
That girl can't take that girl on
because she's
not as good as soccer. There's just no way.
And that's where the animosity comes from. But that is something that bothers me, is that the bully characters, we don't get a reason why people pick on this girl. Maybe it's because, you know, she just generally shows psychotic traits.
No.
They pick on her because she doesn't like the technology.
Right.
She's the only one in the entire school that does not have
her
own
Q-bot. She's different. My robot.
Yes.
She's different. She's not trying. I'm sure she can use herself out. She can use the technology. She chooses not to. And that makes her different from everybody else. So they don't like
everyone else.
Kids always hate the one that's different.
She plays actual soccer. Do they ever explain everyone else uses like, robots?
Exactly.
Explain why she doesn't like robots?
Well, it's the animosity that her mother is her obsession.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Her mother won't give her any
that energy. Already.
Right.
It's intensified with the fact that the bullies use the robots to beat her up.
It goes back to her also thinking why her dad left, because she's not old enough to remember a time before the Q-bots. So she associates her mom's obsession with technology as a reason why her dad left. And so she projects her anger onto the Q-bots because she doesn't know any better. It's not like she actually remembers 100% why her dad left. She just knows he left.
Right.
I want to say something really quick. Her bringing 77 to the school and asking her to like blast stuff, that is essentially like a school shooting. I'm not exactly, you're not wrong. You're literally, it's a gun. You have a gun.
And they react like, oh, fireworks.
Kind of react like everybody else reacts. So, you
know, cowed in the fact that they don't have those problems anymore. So when it does happen, they're like, oh. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, and that's the thing, and it's this commentary on how a police state could actually change your mental state.
Right.
You think about that, and it's very almost like Kurt Vonnegut or any one of those Isaac Asimov kind of really cookie cutter areas of society. And you're like Fahrenheit 451. Mm. If you read that book. Nobody reads anything. Nobody does anything like that. And but the moment you start reading books, it's like, oh my God, you're trying to take out society.
Right. Well, that's like the difference between 1984 and A Brave New World.
Mm-hmm. 1984.
It's the idea of breaking language down and making people like not speak correctly, you know, dumbing down their language.
Yep.
Whereas Brave New World has everybody doped up and.
You have your alphas,
basic idea was, I believe it was Aldous Huxley said, the difference between my Brave New World and 1984 is that 1984 is worried about burning books and taking books away. Brave New World is the idea that the scariest part is that no one wants to read, so that you don't have to burn any books. They can just sit there and no one will look at them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're all there, but no one cares.
It's also interesting because now that we're talking about it, like the school shooting aspect of it, look at the stadium sequence when Ares and 77 are in the battle. They're already shooting each other, and people are just sitting there watching until the robots next to them start blowing up.
Right.
Well, because
they assume it's part of the show.
They get the perception of
safety because there's this huge dome around it, so none of the robots' damage is going to do anything to them. And then all of a sudden, oh wait. It's all right next to me now.
Well, and here's to bring something back up. When you think about what happened at the Dark Knight movie theater shooting, nobody thought that he was actually shooting up the theater. They thought it was part of the show. Like, you think about the mindset. You're watching an action film and someone comes in with guns. We see cosplayers all the time. You and I go to conventions all the time.
True.
Someone could bring an actual gun, paint the tip of it orange. Not that I'm saying that should happen.
They got to. I mean, look at those people who just walked right past the metal detectors when we were walking in.
And it's like one of those things. They don't get checked. And it's like you don't assume that that's going to happen, because as a society, we assume the best in people, no matter right. what country or world we live in, we want to assume the best in people. So it's just that situation.
And that's the point. That's the whole point of like security at an event like
yes.
that. They're the ones that are supposed to assume the worst.
Right. At all times. And that's yes. the scary part.
I mean, because I've seen places where like, you know, somebody dresses up as a stormtrooper or other character that carries a gun. Yeah, they have their prop weapon. Uh-huh. You know, it's a prop weapon, but they still mark it right. with like a tag or something from the event staff itself, stating this is a prop gun. There's no way it's going to fire.
That's interesting, because we had some cosplayers in our group who did Star-Lord,
mm-hmm.
and she didn't have. They did not mark her guns.
Well, that's Whoa. On to them. That's
yeah, and that just shows you how lax our security system is.
But when you get
getting.
Like huge places like San Diego Comic Con, so they take that very venue. Very seriously.
Yeah.
And maybe it was a financial thing, but my point is, if it's a financial thing, put most of your finances towards the security of the event.
Exactly.
Because again, you have people that are dressing up where their faces are covered. They could bring a gun. Now you have no idea. And exactly. what are you going to do? Yeah, Darth Revan pulled out a blaster and shot the guy. They're all going to be like, "Who the hell is that?"
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, you can't really give a description if there's a mask on the person. You know.
Yeah.
And then they'll ban that costume.
Exactly.
Because then they get all crazy. Then they'll ban the costume.
Right. And they act irrational.
Right. So, it'll be like Comic-Con. They'll be like, "You can't cosplay anymore." Well, then what? What's
well,
the
yeah.
point?
There's no point. Going.
I want to bring up 77 again, real quick. Mm-hmm. Something that's super important about 77 and Aries is. That they both learn.
Mm, mm-hmm.
They're both learning robots, and that's the potential danger of them. They're the whole, they encompass the whole idea of like AIs learning things and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
They're two
the other robots, the Q-bots and whatever, all the other robots, they take orders. They follow functions.
Right, they're soldiers, they're minions.
But Aries and 77, they actually learn and adapt. They do their own diagnostic.
Exactly.
Well, here's a question for you themselves. Then. So what do you think about, and I think we all noticed this, so Aries, when he's born, he's told that he's perfect, and then yes. 77 is born, he's told, you're not perfect, but yes. that's okay. What do you think that kind of impact is relatable to raising children and parenting?
When you tell somebody they're perfect, there's no need to change.
You're Kim Jong-un. Yeah. I believe when I was listening to NPR, and they had a book or an author, and they were talking about when Kim Jong-un was raised, he was told he's perfect and can do no wrong. And you keep enforcing someone like that, you know, when they do something bad, like, I don't know, like steal money or right. like punch your sibling. Like, oh, you're perfect. You just right, keep enabling that, and then they turn yes. into
they turn
psychopaths.
Into, right, exactly.
Who eats babies.
And
it's babies.
Okay,
babies.
So take the example of a person, of a parent who corrects like wrong behavior, you know, and says, "Yeah, okay, you made a mistake, but you learn from that." That's the equivalent to 77's creator.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, you're not perfect, and that, like he says, you're not perfect. That's okay, because you can learn. You yes. can improve yourself. If you're told you're perfect from day one, I mean, look at like professional athletes. Hardly any of them have been told no in their life. That's so true. When they beat up their girlfriend in an elevator or something, they're yep. they totally expect, oh, that's okay, because
you're
the football teams, they'll give me a raise because
gonna,
of that. You know,
and I mean, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to leave it at that. And it's because a majority of them are very wealthy and they could afford to say that kind of stuff, and that's the worst of it. Like a majority of the kids that are being told that they're perfect, they're from wealthy families, mm-hmm. and they're being told they're going to have the perfect lives.
Right,
that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. It's the worst.
And this is I guess this plot for those two robots is a really interesting nod at that.
And that's the point. Doesn't if I remember right, and I could be wrong, but Aries doesn't really learn anything, mm-hmm. so he generally loses. He thinks he yes. can't be defeated, especially by that
he doesn't
robot that's so much smaller than he is.
Smaller than him. But also, right. Aries has got the funding of the company, so he's right. rich. And then the little robot's made in a basement.
Well,
in hiding and
notice
with
another
kid.
Thing.
You know,
Aries does have another flaw. He, now that we know that he's also a part of the production, he's making the specifications for these new Q-bots.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor knows that the specs are wrong and that they won't work. And he tries telling him, hey, you know, these aren't ready for launch.
How did he die?
He got poofed.
He got laser beamed by
it. Literally, it's the most forgettable death in that whole movie. He just gets poofed.
When the kid and the robot invade the office complex to get her mother back.
No. I know that. I know the fat guy died. That was stupid.
Oh. That was the doctor.
I don't know why they killed him off like that.
Oh, how did Ares die?
Oh, Ares?
How did Ares die?
Oh, she took a
robot arm and...
Yeah.
Which I thought
very
was cool.
Very anticlimactic.
But because you didn't...
Well, like, what we're talking... Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, she didn't need 77 to kill him. She did it herself. She needed him to wear him down, but...
She needed Ares to wear him down, and then she just kind of gave the finishing blow.
77 to wear Ares.
Which translates to, we kind of need technology at this point, but we're still in control of it.
Right.
Yes. Don't lose control of it.
Jump ahead. I guess we could talk about it later, but, like, 77's like, I can't, if I revitalize my programming, ergo I wipe out my entire memory, I'll be able to get my weapons back. And I was hoping that he would defeat him without his weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
Well, he didn't really defeat him with his weapons either. You think about it. I mean, he
used his swords.
And he basically made the sacrifice.
Shink. That's there was no way he was going to get past that robot without getting his weapons. There was no way.
I was hoping he'd use like... He would start learning, like, using the environment around him, like...
Because that's a trait he has.
I'm getting ahead of
myself. Some people are slow learners.
No, you're not. You're doing a good job.
Maybe he's a slow learner.
Yeah, you maybe.
He's like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to pull the...
But
you know what it is, though? He's thinking of the girl in his head, May, telling him, hey, you should have just deleted your weapons and stuff. And so he's kind of acting on that instinct. Like, okay,
he's
I was dumb.
Impulsive.
I thought of... yes, exactly.
And he learned from her to be impulsive.
That's why he was made flawed to think.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think it does take away from the plot of forgetting someone. And it goes back to her losing her dad. She at least never forgot about him.
Yes.
That's why she is who she is. But if he forgets about her... He's no longer who he is, and the whole topic of identity in a world where there is no identity.
Right, and then, of course, he sacrifices his memories to put the weapons back on, and then he's rebuilt after
that sequence was
after
beautiful.
I love the deleting of the memory sequence. Yeah. It was so...
So emotional.
Oh,
yeah.
It was
great.
I was hoping like he would be able to defeat Ares before like the final edge, and then like
have like one memory of her or something like that.
He like then he wipes it all out and he looks at her and he's like, I'm like, oh my gosh, crazy turn, jeez.
He's all for those gruesome endings.
I was like, can you imagine you're watching this lovely film and then the end's like, oh my,
oh would never, it would never go. Oh my god, an animation,
and then the ending.
Yeah,
what do you mean animation?
You know what? It comes back to...
You can't have an ending like that in an American story. You can't
have that for an American
movie.
Actually,
I understand that, but you want it done in the American market, so you can't have it
Hang on about it.
Do whatever they want.
It goes back to... So Jane the Virgin is a show that I watch quite frequently.
It's a good show.
Fantastic
show.
Oh,
no, you too?
So she reads a book, and she's like 12, and she goes to an actual Q&A session with the author, and she's got her list of things, because that's what Jane does, is she creates lists.
Okay.
And during it, she's like, where's my happily ever after? What are you talking about? I need to have a happily ever after. You can't write a romance novel without a happily ever after. What is wrong with you? And it's a whole sequence in like the second or third season where she's talking about this, and it goes to the audience perspective that you're talking about.
Right.
As an American audience member, you cannot have a non-happy ending.
Right.
I have a counterpoint. So there's another show that was funded by Netflix. It's all animated. It's called Love, Death, Robots.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, it's a great show.
Great show.
Every single one of those short films is not a happy ending.
Right.
Well,
but it's done really well, and they're all animated. So I think the studio played it safe, because it's their first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Tangent Animation's first movie. You got to play it safe if you're going to try to get into the market. And I don't know what the, because it was produced off of a comic book. I don't know how much of the comic book they had to base it on.
Yeah.
Or how much in their rights were they allowed to deviate from it.
Right. That's like The Walking Dead. One of the reasons The Walking Dead became popular is because it wasn't afraid to kill main characters.
Right. Or Game of Thrones.
Right. But now Walking Dead is more like we're going to kill somebody just to do it because right. you know, it's going to shock you.
I don't want to talk about that piece of shit movie.
What? Well,
Walking Dead.
Well, it's a TV show, but...
It's crap.
It lasted way
too long. I'm invested. I'm watching it till the end.
I think, well...
It's kind of like Supernatural. You have to be invested at this point.
I'm so far in, it's just like, yeah, 20
seasons,
fine.
Right?
They're on 20, season 15.
So I mean, I'm starting to root again. I'm starting to root against the main characters. I want the villains to win now.
Exactly.
Because the main characters do so much stupid stuff.
Well, and here's the thing is you look at some of those main characters like in Supernatural and you're like, okay, stop bringing the apocalypse. You know that that's going to bring the apocalypse. Just stop.
Don't drink the wine.
Dave, what you were saying, since it's a happy ending, I think because their target audience are children,
sure.
yeah. that you have to have.
Which is fine. I'm not saying it's a bad ending. No, I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying it's a bad ending either. It's just, like, throughout the movie, I enjoyed it. It's just tonally, I mean, again, it's for children.
Right.
Children don't really, like, they're along for the ride because everything looks freaking cool.
Right.
Me, though, as an adult, I don't have to watch this movie.
But I think it's
I was suggested to watch it, so I watched it. Mm-hmm. And then when I watched it, I was just like, tonal whiplash. And like the beginning started out strong, you know, it's like, oh, that's some sad stuff. Cool. They're going to pick up their new robot or some event, blah, blah, blah. She's introduced to 77. He's this, David, you say he's like a military robot. I figure that he was just some project where the guy's like, I want to throw anything, everything I can and put this in this robot. And he did.
But
we move on. What's up?
But that point of that militaristic robot, I think the guy who was designing him was like the main designer
because they were talking about how they were friends when they were
for
young.
Man Bun,
right?
And he knew what Man Bun was.
What's his real name? Tin.
Pin. Man Bun.
Pin. That's it. We'll call him Pin.
Pin. Man Bun. Okay. So anyway,
Justin Pin.
Justin Pin. Man Bun
for his Man Bun.
Yeah. Exactly. So he kind of knew who he was and what he was. So he was trying to make something to counter Ares, I think.
He knew that Pin was a robot?
Well,
I think
the show, it says that he killed Pin. It's not that Pin was always the robot. Ares killed Pin.
So like when
he knows he's dead and he knows Ares is trying to do something.
I think so.
Why else is he making 77?
I think the reason why he's making 77 project? To maybe to defeat Ares. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But I don't think
he
knew that Ares was controlling
Man Bun.
We'll call him Man Bun because I keep forgetting his name.
Yeah.
Man Bun is better.
Man Bun sounds better. But my point is, he knew something was up.
Right.
So he's building something to counter it.
Yeah.
He's seen what Ares has done. So it's like, yeah, I got to do something to counter this.
Well, at that point, had Ares done anything that we as an audience should have been suspicious of?
Not necessarily, but if we go back and watch it again, we might see something that
I can't watch it again.
Kind of tell something in a visual way that
maybe
that they, you know, maybe I'm just saying that is my opinion. I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying anything, but my point is I question, well, why is he building 77? There's got to be a reason for it. Yes, it could be a passion project. Yes, it could just be an experimental thing. I think he was countering Ares.
Right. Because he's adaptable. Ares chooses not to be adaptable. That's the big thing.
I think the fact that we're debating about it and children are like, they're just watching it. And
children are going to listen to the show.
Oh, exactly. Well, no. I'm saying like because we're debating it because the answer that we're looking for isn't clearly shown to us.
Right.
Kind of have to read between the lines.
Mm-hmm.
And is that good storytelling?
Yes.
Or is that lazy
visualization? Here's the thing about animation. If you're targeting the audience of children who have to go to the movie theater, their parents have to bring them to the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
The parent doesn't want to sit there, you know, I can't stand this animation.
I don't know about you, but I will go to movie theaters for animations all the time.
That's fine. But parents have to have something to want to bring the parents in. So that's why they have, you know, under the radar jokes for adults and things like that, you know, dirty jokes and things.
It's like SpongeBob.
It's a whole family kind of movie.
Right. It's a whole family movie because they know the kid who's, you know, 6 years old, 7 years old is not going to get those jokes.
No.
So we as adults can look at the professor who's building 77 and postulate why he's doing it.
They had murder jokes. That was our murder jokes.
Right.
I like the joke where she goes nerd shirt and you get this really good shot of his shirt and it's a Comic-Con shirt and he's got a D20 on it.
Yeah.
That was like the best joke of the whole movie.
I do want to state though, because I actually agree with Bobby and I don't think the Doctor was fully aware of Ares' replacement of his friend for two reasons. One, he literally goes up to him and kind of begs him not to do this, thinking he's still human.
Yeah, he like grabs him by the shirt. Like he's like trying to like,
and I think
like, buddy, please, like what are you here? Doing? And then like, and then like, dude, man has all the power. He's like, and he looks at him. He's like, oh my god, oh man. And then,
but I can even counter that right by saying that he knew it was a robot and he just acted like he didn't know it was a robot. Humans can be clever.
Let's agree to disagree.
Well, okay.
I understand.
Like, each one is valid. I'm not saying yours is wrong. You know,
why would he? Why would he? I can understand in a live action film because you've got logic that has to play in.
Right.
But in an animated feature where there's no logic that really needs to play into it, why would he act that he's real?
I'm just having conversation.
Right. And that's why I'm bringing it up.
Each one is valid.
Yes.
You know? So
one thing that I noticed was that when he's getting pushed by Ares, he's like, hey, you know, I invented you. And then that's what tells me, hey, he probably thinks it's two separate people.
Okay.
Doesn't know the full extent of it.
And Ares would want to fool him the most.
Well, the original point is that he's building 77 to counter Ares, necessarily Man Bun.
Yes.
We're both correct in some way, shape, or form. He probably has hints because he built 77.
Sure.
I mean, he wouldn't deliberately make a robot to kill his friend.
Right.
No.
He still loves his friend. He still believes that he's probably existing, but he knows Ares is some maniacal thing.
Yeah.
Why is he always hanging around Man Bun?
Yeah.
Like, there's some, you know, push and pull there. I think there is both. You and I are both, I think we're both right.
Right.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah,
so,
he suspects something is wrong. So, you might as well build something to try and counter that.
What was after that plot point?
Yeah.
There's so many.
I mean, there was that, and there was a whole relationship with the girl and the father.
I think the girl in the robot was touching.
It got a little.
She was like, I don't know, like, I guess it's her character. She's selfish and she wants to do what she wants to do. Like, let's blow up stuff.
She's so
the whole bat thing was nuts.
Yeah. Like his whole flashback sequence of seeing what they did through his point of view.
Yeah.
And you see him and he's kind of like, you know, this is kind of even himself. He was like, this is disturbing that we're blowing all this stuff up.
And he's killing like his own kind in a way, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
That's a little weird. Yeah.
It goes back
to that school shooter mentality. You know? Like, that's how it is. It's literally this girl's going to mess these kids up.
Well, and maybe that was a commentary on the whole idea of the school shooter, because you think that they're ones who are, quote unquote, the outcasts of society. Whenever you look at it, even when we look at Columbine, because we're all old enough to remember Columbine, you look at all the stuff that's happened since then. We're looking at Sandy Hook, all of that. They were all done by the outcast, the person that has been singled out. And they're probably making a commentary on that because it's like, why are you singling this person out? Because they're different.
Yep.
Well, because of that difference, they're going to come back at you and effectively destroy you.
Right.
And maybe that's opening the dialogue for us to understand, like, hey, maybe we need to listen to these people. Marilyn Manson said it the best when he was talking about Columbine. What would you say to these kids? I wouldn't say anything to them. I would listen to them because clearly they have something they need to say. And that's the only outlet that they had to say it.
That's interesting because I think now I'm just putting this together. Maybe this is just a thought I just had. But Pin and what's her name? May.
Purple hair.
Purple hair. They are
kind of
the same character because Ares is Pin. Ares is an outcast in his own world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he is rebelling against humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And she's rebelling against humanity.
Technology.
Yeah.
And
humanity.
Once they realize, like, it's just kind of interesting that they actually counter.
They parallel each other. Yeah.
It's very interesting. But anyways, we're going to segue into acting directing, which should be really quick because there is no stage acting at all
in this.
It's an animated movie.
Voice acting, though. You got to have emotion with
the
voice.
It's pretty solid voice acting for the most part.
A lot of voice acting.
Yeah. See, I had a problem with it.
There you go.
May, when she's upset about 77 getting basically destroyed, And this is one thing I will give Lion King props for. At least Simba sounded like he was crying.
Okay.
He didn't look like he was crying, but he sure as heck sounded like he was crying. But May, she didn't have this like catch in your voice. She didn't have that like that wobble that you would have if you were truly upset about something happening. When you're crying, you have that. It's not something that you can't...
Need that ugly face crying.
Right. Yeah.
I want to hear it through the microphone.
You have to hear it. And that's the thing, is it doesn't convey emotion well. That was one thing that the animation style of Lion King didn't do, was convey emotion. Mm-hmm. The one thing that this one did was it conveyed emotion, but the voice acting didn't.
You said the live action Lion King?
Oh, God, it was awful.
Live action?
I could have told you that. Look at the beginning. It's live action. Stop it.
Well,
Disney, please listen to not me. Listen to me, Disney.
I
rule the world.
Live action scene in that.
Nobody asked for Lady and the Tramp live action.
I love how they got the shot for shot for shot of the original, and I thought that was beautiful. But you have these creatures that you can dim the light in their eye, or you can give them the sag of the brow that signifies some form of emotion. That I've seen my cat cry.
Just see it.
I have a cat and she cries.
But ultimately, the point is this: don't do remakes, especially shot for shot remakes. I mean,
thank you, Psycho.
John Carpenter's The Thing is a remake, but it's a remake in the way he wanted it done.
Mm-hmm.
He added to the movie. Nobody cares about the original Thing.
Mm-hmm. I love the Thing.
You like John Carpenter's
Thing? No, I love the original.
Okay. Wait. But the point is, no, there's an original. Right. So it was like in the 1950s.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Again,
it's good. It's good. Neither is she, and she knows about it.
Okay.
I have
so
all.
There, so your so your argument it? Your argument is void. Okay.
I have all the old horror movies. I love saying, classic horror movies.
I'm not saying it's not good.
No, I know.
But what John Carpenter did when he remade it was he made it his own.
Yeah.
There is a distinct difference between John Carpenter's The Thing and the original. Whereas you have Psycho, and then you have Gus Van Sant Psycho, and you just want to punch Gus Van Sant in the face for doing that. Even he said it afterwards. He's like, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I tried to do a shot for shot of a masterpiece. You just can't do it. So the point is, Disney has all this animated stuff that everybody loves. Lion King. I've never seen it, but if I ever watch it, I'm not watching the live action one just because of these reviews. I'll watch the animated one.
You've never seen the animated ones?
Nope.
Oh, it's so fun.
Because I'm 46.
Yeah, but you still can. I heard
apparently I'm the grown-up here. Okay, fine.
I heard they're making Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, no,
oh yeah.
They've never seen Lady and the Tramp either.
Disney Plus, too, because they know it's a risk.
I'm bringing you all.
We're getting off track, but like, right. Isn't the girl also portrayed by a child actor?
For what?
Could be.
For purple next, hair, May?
For next gen.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
no.
She's not a child actor. She's an adult.
Yeah, she's an adult.
She's a girl from... Well,
she's from House.
Sometimes that's the best thing to do.
Yeah, she's season of House, she's the intern.
The intern.
Well, one that he pulls on cut? After 13 leaves.
The bulk.
Is she the one with the bowl cut? The bowl cut?
Yeah, bowl cut.
Wow, they really typecasted her.
Sometimes though, that is the best thing to do.
Yeah.
They didn't
do it with Man Bun. God, his voice just did not match him, period.
Whenever he talked,
it's like I hear that actor in like he's been in other like what the Hangover. Mm-hmm. I immediately think of like the Hangover when he starts talking. Like this doesn't sound
well. We definitely know Man Bun didn't get his voice specific. But what do you think about the choice of all the Q-bots being the same voice as the creator?
I thought that was hilarious because that actor is hilarious. Yes. I think he's a stand-up comedian.
I think so.
I think so too.
But it's also the point.
David Cross.
They all come from the same thing.
I think he's a comedian.
I'm looking
him
up right now.
Yeah, David Cross.
David Cross did the voice of Ares, or did he Man Bun?
He
did the professor
scientist,
and all the Q-bots.
So he did. He was in Arrested Development, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah, he's a
Megamind.
He's perfect.
Oh, I love Megamind.
Yeah.
I think David, honestly, so pissed when they killed
him
off.
He was part
so
of
dumb.
The comedy act between him and...
He's an archer.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, David Cross is probably the best person.
David Cross,
one
half of the Mr. Show with Better Call Saul.
I never watched.
I don't
Better Call
see
Saul
him on
because
there.
After I watched Breaking Bad, I was just like, I'm content. Well,
you know who Saul is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he was a he did a comedy show with David Cross called Mr. Show.
Okay, gotcha.
Who's on HBO?
Cool.
Yeah, I didn't see that on his filmography, whatever.
Yeah,
might have been synopsis. Like a guest appearance.
It was probably late 80s, early 90s.
Well, it was one of those things where I looked at the synopsis of his filmography, but going into other voice actors, Michael Pena.
I hated his character.
Oh, he's adorable. You've got to have a talking
dog. They typecasted him too.
Oh, yeah. He was in American Hustle, Ant-Man, Dora.
One thing I like
he's a good actor. They're all great actors. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's just
the character.
They put him like, you're going to play a dog who's this wily character dog who has a smart mouth.
But it brings
very original.
But it brings you into a commentary on... I guarantee you it was probably a commentary on most animated features because you have Alan Tudyk who plays Heihei in Moana and he doesn't have a single line.
I haven't seen that one either.
Other than him clucking. He's a chicken.
Hey, hey.
But you always have an animal companion in any Disney movie. Every single princess, every single anybody that's anybody in Disney will have an animal companion.
Here's an interesting comment, though.
The mouse commands it.
The as a directing choice for the dog to talk, it's actually not a very important plot point. In fact, it could
but
be.
But it is.
No, comic relief.
He's comic relief.
He's comic relief, but it's if you take that out and just had him bark and didn't pay for the actor, because the only significant part about the dog talking is that the robot says, oh, yeah, he thinks it's this way. And you could have
and then the
visually
just like
convey that with the barks and the face.
Any dialogue.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
If for a directing choice, that could have been dropped.
But every animated character has a talking
dog
animal.
Not a dog, RJ.
You look at Cinderella.
Wouldn't it be something
mice.
If Disney broke that convention?
Disney movie, though.
Yeah, it would be something.
To not have a talking animal in any of their, in any one, in just like their next animation.
I don't know.
They'll never do it because
it's a trope.
Sell. It brings the money.
It's the princess trope.
Sell.
It is.
The best princess Disney came up with was the redheaded Irish girl who wanted to be the archer.
And she still had an animal companion.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the princess trope. She is the least popular of all the princesses.
Yep.
Which is funny because I always see her cosplayed.
Well, the people who actually
it's
get it.
It's not popular amongst kids.
Yeah, but it's not popular amongst the little kids.
Neither is Tatiana.
But how much?
Tatiana is not a popular princess.
Who's Tatiana? That sounds like
she's the princess and the frog. You want to know why she's not popular? Is because, and this is going to happen with Little Mermaid. Sorry about cutting you off there. This is going to happen with the Little Mermaid. Is because they tried to bring Disney princesses to a newer audience by casting a black girl. And I love Princess and the Frog. I think it's a great film. But it does not appeal to the white audience. So it's a new way for Disney when Little Mermaid happens. It's going to be an uproar. This is not going to be a popular
Disney
movie.
It's already been an uproar.
Yeah.
It's going to be even more.
Literally.
It's scary. Because why? Does it matter? Does it really matter what the color of someone's skin
and
is?
That's the shame on it because, you know, actually this is like, that's the right choice. They're actually making the right choice.
And I love it.
Because
I love the fact that she's black.
Get a singing voice for the,
she's
to
got
hire
a beautiful voice.
A separate singing voice is more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they do that? She has a beautiful singing voice. Mm-hmm. She's a great actress.
Oh, beautiful.
So
it's like anything, society, it has to come around to a societal factor. They have to eventually start to accept it, and it generally comes generationally. I mean,
oh yeah,
just a quick example, marijuana.
Oh yeah,
before now, there's no way it was ever going to be legalized once it was made illegal, because all that stuff was legal at some point. You could go get a script for morphine without a doctor's note. But at some point, what happens is a society realizes a generation starts to do it, and they realize, hey, wait a second. The generation before said that this was going to like make me shoot people and go crazy and, you know, and oh my God, maybe have sex or something like that. And it doesn't happen. And they start to say,
I don't know.
What's the big deal here? And then eventually it happens slowly, but it will eventually come around where it won't matter. It doesn't matter now, and it won't matter soon to who acts in what movie.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, unless it's like a period piece and you have to say, no, this person is white or that person is black, that's going to be the only thing.
They were making a cultural statement.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And not that those need to be a cultural statement, but they were trying to be funny. It's the same thing with it's any comedy, whatever you do, has to be offensive in one way or another in order for it to work.
Comedy has to be mean at times, yes.
I mean, look at Jeff Dunham. His comedy is absolutely the most offensive thing ever, but that's why he's funny.
But you want to know why it's acceptable? Because he gets away with it through a puppet.
So one last thing I want to mention about the acting before we move on is that all the acting, because they animated based on motion capture, but the old-fashioned way. They had one guy in the studio who was the animator. He set up a camera in the office.
That's incredible.
And move, like, especially a good. They have an example of it on YouTube where you can watch the breakdown, mm-hmm. where he did all the movements of the pin for the studio when he does all that.
Right.
You actually and they're all separate camera takes where he did every move, and then he maps them all together with the animation.
Okay,
so
hand animate it.
Yeah, it's point to point. The whole movie's point to point.
Wow,
that's really cool, though.
It's like that's very common nowadays. I mean,
it's an animated movie.
Are we going to talk about the?
Oh yeah, we're going to get into that when we get to VFX. But it is a point to point, and mm-hmm. A lot of the they basically did it the way that most animated movies do it. They started with a storyboard.
Right.
They made the storyboard and an animatic, mm-hmm. timed it out, and then they started swapping out the pieces with, CGI animations.
Real quick, let's take a short break. And we're back.
So, all
right, moving on,
RJ.
Yes.
What did you think about the sound design for this movie?
So, it was very on part in a lot of different segments. Like, it very much stood out. It was great. But one interesting thing, which you kind of get lost when you watch it, is the action sequences. When certain characters carry a lot more weight to them, mm-hmm. you should really feel that impact where they hit the ground and whatnot. This starts literally at that first chase scene. We notice that, you know, the robot's tripping and falling. 77's like tripping, falling, whatever. Why aren't I hearing that as much? Like, this is a heavier robot than these other guys. Why aren't I hearing him crash into the ground? And it's not a detail that a lot of people focus on. And it's probably not something that I was even focusing on in the beginning, but then I was listening to it a little more like, okay.
Unless he's built to be lightweight.
And what you notice he flies,
but even with Ares, you don't hear him clanging around.
Yeah, they're still metal. So,
the funny thing is, bringing that in, I watch a lot of animated movies, if anybody hasn't figured that out.
No way.
I actually heard the sounds. Like, it wasn't in it. I know it wasn't in it. But I, as the imagination was going and really getting invested, I could hear it.
You think about it. And that's,
so maybe they put it in just enough?
Possibly.
And for that's the kids to pull it
and
through.
And see, that's what I usually go with when it comes to animated movies is, because the way you do sound design for that versus how you do sound design for a live action film, you can make those kinds of creative decisions and you can just be like, I want to put less because less is more in this circumstance. Mm. It's a very imaginative movie. Be that as it may, some would say this is an error because it's a very opinionative thing when it comes to sound for animation.
Mm.
They reused some sounds for a lot of the smaller robots and stuff. They reused the cop like sound, you know.
Well,
make it evident that they did.
I could see reusing the sound for like the other smaller like Ares, you know, robots because they're technically all the same.
Yes.
That would be a thematic choice. The idea of saying they're all the same, so they're going
to
sound the same.
It's like when you talk to
fall the same.
I mean, Amazon Echo or Google, whatever, they're going to respond the same way every time.
Yeah.
Well, and that's also, it shows the cookie cutter part of the society.
Right.
Some of the biggest errors I was able to pinpoint out was the voice acting. And I'll get into it. It's sinking to the lips.
Uh-huh.
A couple of different segments, especially with our main bad guy, Man Bun Pin Boy.
Man Bun Pin Boy.
We have a title.
Whatever he's saying isn't matching with his lips. A lot of the time.
You're saying it's not?
It's not matching up with his lips.
I thought that, like, certain parts.
But it's only him?
Yes, and it's mostly him. It really is. Mostly his parts are not matching with
him. I mean, how hard is it to lip sync a drawn character?
Well, here's a question. Yeah. What if that's intentional as a foreshadowing point to show that he's not human?
I thought of that. But so now we're
really diving down the rabbit hole, man.
I think
at the same time, I think it's quite literally an error because at one point he's looking straight ahead, talking to the professor, right? Mm-hmm. Talking to the actual guy who's inventing it. He's looking straight ahead and just, I don't know what he's doing. His mouth is barely opening when he should be vocalizing more. It just doesn't make sense.
Are you talking about that scene where he's like, he's across the way.
Literally when you are just
like
figuring out
a chasm or
he's
whatever.
He's the bad guy. Yeah.
Okay.
That part. And it set the whole standard.
Funny. What?
It was funny. He's like, what is it? He has his friend tied up to that like firing.
Yeah, that was funny.
And he's like, so I'm going to kill you now.
That was funny.
It's no hard feelings. I know. I'm like, he's like, whoa. And he's like talking. I was like, I can't hear you, but you can barely see him. It's like, it's a comedic like.
Yeah.
Shot,
right?
Because it's like it's a wide shot, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm still gonna kill you." And he's like, "Oh wait, I can find the guy." He's like, "All right, hold on. Yeah, we'll take that one, okay?" And it's like, "Yeah, I thought that was hilarious."
I thought that reminded me of being like in a recording booth or something like that, where you're just like, where you're behind the glass and you're
press
like,
a button, like,
and the recording guy's like, "You think I can hear you?" Like, I can't. Talk to your microphone, please.
So overall, what, the audio is good?
Audio is okay. I give it that. It really was.
For a Netflix special,
for a Netflix series, special
movie,
for an Alibaba production, which I've never seen any other production by Alibaba. Alibaba's like anyone else catch that?
It was no, I didn't.
I don't know if you guys know. It's one of the biggest companies in the world. Okay. Biggest thing out of China.
Oh, it's out of China?
Yes. Well, I just know them for their sales.
They're like China's
their online
eBay.
Sales.
Okay. eBay?
Yeah.
So it's like a
marketplace?
Yeah. Well, it's like Amazon.
Online marketplace, and it's one of the biggest in the world.
It's so strange.
I mean, maybe this is that's something of the deal that they have to produce and show it in that country.
That's what I think.
It's like Wish.
So, besides the audio design, the sound design, what about music score?
Okay. Interesting thing I'll point out with score itself. The score was good.
The soundtrack sucked.
I don't get what was going on. Did you notice they did all covers?
Yes, and I hate
it.
It
was all covers.
Well, I think that's a cheaper alternative to get.
And that's what I think it was.
I don't like
their
version.
Their budget was $30 million, by the way. Well,
is it really a cheaper alternative to re-record
they're not,
something else that you still have to pay the rights for?
Warner Brothers, what?
Because you still have to pay the rights to get the remake of the song.
But they probably would charge them more for the soundtrack.
For the actual song.
I'm not an expert on it, but they probably, to save money.
Yeah.
Now, interesting thing I will point out is another movie did the same thing, though, and we have to acknowledge it.
Yeah, true.
And what movie is that?
Shrek.
No.
Shrek did it.
Sony?
They did it in a way that was clever.
Clever, yes.
Because you think about it, when they do...
One thing they did was controversial, and that was Elton John's... the Elton John version of this song, Hallelujah or whatever, was in Shrek. And then on the soundtrack, they didn't get the soundtrack rights, so they couldn't put that on the soundtrack, so they had to make a whole new
Of all people
cover.
Would know this.
Well,
of
no,
course I would.
That's why he's here.
Shrek Fest was recently. Like
Shrek's a meme now. Shrek you're riding that wave.
Shrek's coming out with another film.
Oh, God.
They're doing another one.
They're doing a reboot.
And God damn it.
We don't know if it's going to be released yet. We don't know when it's happening, but we know it's the silent killer.
They all signed
like, franchise. It's like Stallone is coming out with Rambo.
That looks awful.
The last. Yeah. Oh, I know.
The last blood.
You finished last it blood. On the last one. I love the fact that you just saw him walking down his walkway to his house.
Finally came home.
Done.
The end.
That was the whole point of everything he said. Every line he had. Go home.
Franchise.
He finally took his own advice.
That franchise kind of reminds me of the Fast and Furious franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Where they need to just going. Stop.
But no. Hobbs and Shaw is phenomenal. That is a great movie.
But here's the thing.
Because they decided to do something different.
It's The Rock and Jason Statham. And, like, it's just...
It's made to be a buddy cop
like,
film. And
you'd think,
hilarious.
Like, all right, it's getting crazy. Like, how crazy can it get now? No, they turned that to 11... A thousand
they went
times.
To the Isle of Samoa.
But it's like Ocean's 13 or whatever. I mean,
Ocean's
11, Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13.
They're,
just stop.
What's the other one?
They're doing it.
It's 8.
Because they know it's safe money.
Right.
There is an audience that's going to see it. The same thing with the live action Disney films.
It's the same thing with the superhero films.
Same thing.
Exactly.
Every superhero film.
It's because nobody wants to take a risk. People are
going to watch it.
Well, also, it's also the audience that keeps flocking to the. Look, you can have a great superhero movie like Iron Man. Iron Man was great. It was good. I enjoyed it. But then eventually you start to change the people making the film.
Yeah.
In terms of writing and directing. And with each change, you get lesser and lesser quality on those films. But people still go back to them.
Well, I bring this up. So we just watched Nightmare on Elm Street last night.
Which one?
The first one.
Original.
I'm talking the original. Because first,
Robert Englund.
Yes.
Gotcha. Wes Craven. I start 60 Days of Halloween instead of 13 Days of Halloween. Okay. And I still don't manage to watch a movie twice in a row. I'm just saying, ABC Family, you suck.
You're still weird.
Anyway, so when Wes Craven came out with Nightmare on Elm Street, it was completely brand new.
Right.
No one had ever come up with that concept before.
Right.
Your dream's killing you. What the heck are you talking about? Right. How does that work? It's an actual thing that's in society where there is a group that believes that your dreams and nightmares can kill you. So he brought in that societal idea and made it into a horror movie, which was super successful.
Right.
And then you have Nightmare on Elm Street 2, which is kind of tropey. Yeah. And that's where Freddy starts going into his I gotta be funny phase. And then he goes from a horror film into a comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know how not to continue that series.
But I like the idea that he isn't just a slasher at that point anymore.
Right.
Because now you realize, hey, wait a second, he's in their dreams. He can kind of mine their dream, find out what their biggest fear is, and use that against them.
Right.
So you do get some original kills, you know?
And
that's good.
It's
but yeah,
great.
He might be too comedic.
But at the end of it, when you get into a new nightmare or when they did 3D, it's like, okay, I know that you've got a lot of technology that's coming out now, but can we just stop?
Yeah.
Right. It's like Jason. Jason goes on forever. Michael Myers goes on forever. And they become a parody. Mm-hmm. And Nightmare on Elm Street does it in a way that's comedic, where he's like, yes, I'm becoming a parody of myself, but I think it's funny and I'm just going to keep doing it, which is great. But then you've got these remakes of these movies, like It. I love It, the new It movie, because they do it well. But it's still parodying itself in a way.
I'm going to take the reins. The first thing I want to mention, and the reason why I picked this movie for us to watch, was this movie was made, at least the core of this movie was made, on software that is available to the public for free on the open source community. It was made on Blender. And if you don't know what Blender is a... It's kind of like... You know, a Pixar animation
everything.
Studio. It does everything.
Right. You can animate in it. You can edit in it. You can...
Composite in it.
You can make music in it, I believe, too.
Yeah, right? you can. It's hard, but you can.
But you can, right.
It's a very one-and-all movie-making tool for animation. And it's amazing that these guys did it. I mean, regardless of the flaws of the movie, I love the fact that it was made on something that anyone in this room or in this audience can go on the internet and download for free.
And, right.
No cost to you, and you can try and make something. It's phenomenal and a testament. So, and I think Netflix invested in this company, right, because they did a fantastic job. Yes, they used a little bit of After Effects here and there for the eyes of the robots and the faces, and especially for the texturing was done with Substance Painter, which is also owned by Adobe. It's a movie that has inspired me as an artist to go and make more stuff, because I was like, oh man, these guys did it.
Yeah,
I should go do something.
Right.
I don't care how small it is, but I can go do something, and anyone else can.
Well, you got to start somewhere. You can't start.
Right.
You could try to make a feature length film, but I think it would be,
too
frustrating. You know, you go out and you'd make a 2-minute thing. You know?
Right.
Even if it's just something as simple as like the light, you know, the Pixar light hopping around. You know?
Oh yeah, something light, small, and sweet. But they did a full feature film. And I watched a few breakdowns of how they made a lot of their effects, and especially the robot faces. And if you pay attention to the older Cubots and then the newer Cubots, they did the same. They made the same face for both of them. And then they took, for the older models, they pixelated it. So the faces look a little less detailed.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
720p.
The render jobs is beautiful. And it's all done in Cycles, which is like the built-in renderer for the VFX software. And that's free. That comes with it. They could have purchased like a higher-end render engine to make like crisp, realistic shadows and all this crazy jazz. But they didn't. They worked with what they had.
The only difference they have is they have a render farm.
Yeah.
We don't.
I'm sure. I believe the time on the renders was like 48. I think it was like 2 days per frame. Most of that. And that's
2 days per frame.
That's per, and if you don't know what frame is, it's just a single frozen image per,
it's
and
a picture.
Yeah, it's a picture. It's a single frame.
Yeah.
And it's 24 frames a second, so.
I want to know why they chose Blender. Because, like, I had a conversation with someone, and we were talking about 3D software, and really, like, what it comes down to is, like, whatever you're comfortable with and what you want to use, because essentially they're all the same.
Yeah. It really doesn't matter.
The only difference between Blender and 3ds Max is one's free and one's not.
Well, and that goes to your point of why they chose Blender, because they didn't have to pay for it.
But Blender is significantly harder to use.
Think about it. This movie had a budget of, what, $30 million, you said?
Yeah. I think that's
pretty much all $30 million went into the animation.
I wonder how much they pay those animators in China.
Well, I mean,
I think Tangent
is in Canada, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which?
Well, did they do
it's
the
probably more than what they paid him on Sausage Party.
At least the Blender artists.
Yes.
That's what I know. The Blender artists were there and the After Effects artists.
Well, and you think, too, if it's made in Canada, it explains why a lot of the tropes. Because we get a lot of trope stuff from Canada. I'm sorry, Degrassi, but that's... Degrassi?
Degrassi Junior High.
Oh God! Even no, I remember school. That. It's a high school. Man.
Was that
it's,
Nickelodeon?
Oh, it was Junior High when I first saw.
Oh, it's Junior High. Oh, was that it's like the most tropic thing you can watch.
I think so.
Like,
Drake was on it, right?
It's so bad.
Cripple Jake.
Picture like Dawson's Creek, but
yeah,
worse.
Okay, yeah. I never
but
watched
lower
it,
budget.
But like I
Crossing Jordan
because it was like on PBS.
Yeah.
Oh, so. It's awful.
With.
But you watch it because it's a train wreck that you can't stop watching.
Yeah.
Like the next generation that they released on Netflix, I only watched it because it's like sentimental value at this point. You're just like, I have to watch it.
I'm going to wrap us up here because this has been a fantastic discussion.
Yes.
Real quick, though, the pacing of the movie.
Yeah.
It was fine. The chase was good. Yeah. Nice pacing. I didn't find too many dead spots in it where I wasn't like watching it. I might have gone out a couple of times, but I don't really remember. But other than that, the pacing was just fine. All the fight sequences were
going
good.
Right to the other.
Yeah,
that's what I. Yeah, there were
dead. And when I say a dead spot, I mean a spot. I mean a dead spot that doesn't move. That doesn't move the story forward.
Yeah.
In terms of dead spots.
Yes, you're right. There's no part there. But for me, I lose interest when you get too many tropes in one thing. Like, one or two tropes is fine, but they, like, had every trope you could possibly have in this film.
Well, again, it is...
And it was, like...
For kids, so...
And they played it safe for...
But they killed a guy.
Yes. All right, gentlemen and ladies.
Those are good.
Let us wrap this up, starting with our rating. Out of 5, Bobby, that's what we do here. Go ahead, Miss Peterson.
Okay, so I really, really wanted to absolutely adore this movie because I love animated features. I own so many of them. And I'm actually not all that much of a Disney fan, but it felt very Disney to me. And that's where it knocks itself off in ratings. Because I like DreamWorks. I like all of those animation styles. And I really wanted it to be more like DreamWorks, like Sinbad or Prince of Egypt or anything like that. And it wasn't. And I was very disappointed in that. And so it knocked off a couple of ratings for me. So I have to give it 3.5.
Ooh,
it's a solid.
No, which the car, I told David on the way here I was going to give it a 4.5. But after these discussions and all this stuff, you guys like knocked it down.
Almost always what happens. Yeah. It's almost always what happens.
All right, Mr. Infusino.
So I'm going to go ahead and give this movie a 4. I'm partial to animation as well. It's just... I don't know. I personally really liked this movie. It actually, the emotional sequences of the movie did make me cry and stuff. I was a person that got bullied a lot growing up.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, it had that connection for me. And I wanted to fight a lot of these kids that would make fun of me, but I know deep in me, it would have never been worth it, you know, to fight my bullies and whatnot.
Did you want to kill him with a robot?
All right, Mr. Brown, what do you want to give this one?
I give it a 3.5.
Okay.
Again, it was, you know, the bad guy was predictable, things like that.
Yeah.
You know, I played it safe, but like you said, it's kind of okay that it played it safe because it's a first venture. Mm-hmm. Maybe if they get money for another one, they'll do something a little bit darker, which would be kind of cool. But overall, yeah, 3.5. It was a good story.
All right, Bobby, what do you think?
Do I have to give it a rating? Yes. Yep. Does it say go see it?
No, you have to give it a rating. Rating. That's the whole point of it.
Give us your honest opinion.
4.
Okay.
There you go.
Wow.
4. I mean, like,
as animated films go,
for any film,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even like put in that, like, yeah, animated films are still films.
Right.
You should definitely totally see it. It's fun to watch. It's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. You don't have to leave your home.
It's always
if you
good.
Want to and go to the park and watch it like a freak.
You watch on your phone.
Put a projector up, you watch.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want with it. But like in the end, it's a good film, you know, aside from the tropes, the you know,
if you got
easy
kids.
Characters, yeah. If you have kids, easy characters to read. But other than that, it's just like another good, fun film to watch. If you could, you know, I could totally glance over all those problems. It was fun to watch. Mm-hmm. There was some predictable parts.
Yeah.
At the end of the movie, I was like, oh, it's a happy ending. I like it. Everything turned all bright and vibrant.
It was weird.
And it was like, okay, we're in the good place. They chose the green ending.
Yeah.
For this movie, not the blue or the red ones, because it'll suck.
Oh, I know what you're joking about there. Yeah. That hurts my heart, but I understand and I love it.
So
we're not quite there yet in that series.
It's that's good.
Okay, so I'm normally, I try my best not to be biased because I tend to be biased in my head, but I want to be as honest as I can. I normally would have given this movie a 5 because I'm just so happy about how this movie was made, and that I think that might cloud my judgment on the movie itself to give it an honest opinion. So I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Ooh, yes.
Because I think, you know, with its flaws, I think for what it is and how it was made, I think that factors into my decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just amazing. And I want to go home and just make stuff right now after watching this movie. I want to go make something.
I mean, honestly, otherwise you've guaranteed picked another winner, in my opinion.
Yeah, of course.
Honestly,
it was a good film.
First it was Upgrade. Now you picked like a crazy good film. I actually watched the first time this time. You know? And this is a fantastic film.
I just find it funny though that my first pick was Upgrade. This movie's called Next Gen, and it's all about robots. I might have a theme
David's
going.
Yeah.
Yeah,
David's a robot.
I'm a robot, guys.
Clearly.
So our total is 3.9 out of 5 out of the overall rating for this movie. This was fantastic. So, Mr. Brown.
Yes.
What
I get to
will
choose
be our
the next movie?
Yes.
The next movie is not an animation.
Thank
it's,
God.
It's no, live action. Yeah, coming from you, I'm surprised you're not standing up and smacking me. What do you mean it's not an animation? You should animate your movies all the time.
What do you mean
time.
It's not a musical?
What do you
mean? Okay, so anyway, the movie I'm choosing, and I will most likely go up on your, probably have to give it to you so that you can,
mm-mm.
Everybody else can watch it.
Okay.
Is Talk Radio, directed by Oliver Stone, starring Eric Bogosian. It's another nice little
commentary
on society as a whole and media. I believe it's Oliver Stone's movie he did after Platoon, which is what kind of put him on the map.
Uh-huh.
And it's an interesting choice because at that point, when you have that breakout film as a director or an actor,
right,
you can choose anything you want.
And Except for Savage.
Right, and he chose to do a movie that was essentially a one-man play, loosely based on the life of a Texas radio host who was shot.
I'm so excited.
Wow. It sounds like a good
so
movie.
So we're
going to
have
I'm
a
excited.
Nice, deep, psychological discussion. I love it.
Yes.
We're going
and
back to Under the
all,
Skin territory.
And all I'm
going
to do to tease it is the last monologue by the main character is just beautiful. It's great.
All right. Well, I'm excited.
I'm excited, too.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. For all of us at Postcut, I'm David Vierkamp, and be sure to tune in next episode. And thanks for listening.
Then he wipes it all out, and he looks at her, and he's like, I'm like, oh, my gosh. Crazy turn. Jeez.
You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Postcut Podcast.